Hello, and welcome to the broadcast for Sittingbourne Baptist Church. My name is Kuda. I'm one of the Sunday school teachers, and we're going to go through a few things for the broadcast for the 26th of July for the children in the Way, which are from year 7 and older. So, before we go any further, let's do our little game and see whether you can guess the thing that I am thinking of. It's just for fun, and I hope you enjoy taking part. So, for 5 points, I am thinking of an item of clothing. For 4 points, it is not something that you need in the summer or hot weather. For 3 points, not everyone has this item. For 2 points, it is made of different materials like rubber, leather, or latex. And for 1 point, it is something you wear on your hands. So, did you manage to guess what that was? If you guessed gloves, that is the item I was thinking of. So that was just for fun. Get the little grey cells going. So we're continuing our series about things that Christians should know. And today I'd like to introduce you to a part of the Bible called Psalms. There are lots of psalms. There are 150 psalms in the Bible, and a lot of them are written by David, but some of them are written by different authors. So it's really difficult to say how many people actually wrote all the psalms. There are lots of different psalms, and most of their purpose is to highlight God and his personality and his characteristics and how we can go to God and rely on him. There are lots of different psalms, like Psalms 120 has 7 verses, and it talks about when you are in distress, and some people might be in distress at this time, and they might be really worried about different things. And this psalm sort of is somebody pouring out their heart to God. Psalm 131 is similar to that. It's when somebody is feeling really bad. It only has 3 verses. Psalm 128 has 6 verses, and it is a blessing that you might say to somebody, to say, I hope things go well with you and your grandchildren, and you know, and everything that you touch works out. Psalm 130 has 8 verses, and it's again crying out to God and asking for help. Psalm 133 has 3 verses, and it talks about how good God is and how much he enjoys when people work together well and they get on very well. I won't talk any more about each of the individual verses, but just to tell you about the 2 psalms, that's Psalm 117 and 119. I wonder whether you know what's important about those 2 psalms. Give you a chance to think about it. Right, Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm. It has 2 verses, so it's very, very easy to remember, and it is talking about praising God. And Psalm 119 has a lot to say, and it has 176 verses. So that's what's important about those 2 psalms. They're very close together, obviously, in the Bible. Psalms 117 is the shortest, and Psalm 119 is the longest. And the psalms were really songs or poems that were written to God. So I would like to encourage you to do 2 things. One, you could consider memorizing a psalm. I have a psalm that I really loved when I was in my 20s. and it was Psalm 35. And I worked really hard to memorize this psalm. I'm not as brilliant as I was at remembering everything about it, but it talks about God being concerned when other people are putting you down or making you feel insecure, and how God is the one who avenges us and fights our battles for us. And there were times in my life when I really needed to know that. So you could choose a psalm to memorize. One of the other psalms that I love is Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8. It talks about being able to lie down at night in peace and sleep because God is standing and watching over you. And there have been times when I've really needed to remember that, when I've been lying down and maybe something just frightens me or makes me feel worried or anxious. I know that God is on duty while I'm sleeping and my defenses are down. And I've also used that psalm to pray for my children when I know they are far away from me. Or if I think they're worried about anything, then I ask God to be in charge and to watch over them when I can't watch over them. So you could memorize a psalm, and I mean, there's lots to choose from. Or you could also write a psalm. And if you send that into the church office, Bev would love to receive it. And it might make its way to one of the newsletters, which would be a really great thing, because I think even though there are 150 psalms in the Bible, I think we can always sing our version of praises to God and say what great things he's done in our lives and write poems to him. And it doesn't even have to rhyme. If you look at a lot of the psalms, none of them really rhyme. There's also Psalm 139, which has 24 verses, so one of the slightly longer ones. And it talks about how God knows us even before we were born, how he knew us and he formed us in our mother's womb and molded us for a purpose. You know, it just gives you that assurance that God has a reason for you to be here on earth. And we should never sort of take that for granted or think that our life doesn't have meaning. God made everything that God made. He declared that it was good. And everything he made for a reason. So if you're not sure what that is, you could ask God to tell you, because he will. And, you know, and it'll give you some idea of what your purpose on earth is and what you can do to influence other people to know God more. The psalm we are going to be looking at today is Psalm 1. And I really love this psalm. It's only short. It's got 6 verses. So it's quite easy to remember. And it's quite easy to sort of put some of it into a prayer. Because it talks about 2 different people. People that are blessed and people that are wicked. So obviously you can imagine the one that I would want you to be, which is people that are blessed. And in the Amplified version of the Bible, it says that being blessed is being fortunate, prosperous, favored by God and envied by man, which is really great. Imagine being so fortunate that things work your way, being prosperous, which means that all the things that you do work. Being favored by God, that means everywhere that you go, people will, you know, I mean, God is with you and he's watching over you and making sure that good things happen to you, which is really great. And being envied by man because they can see that God is with you, because they can see what's happening in your life is like good things are happening all the time. So that's what we need to aim for. We need to aim to be this person who is blessed, who is fortunate, prosperous, favored by God, and envied by man. And in verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers or ungodly people, is another way for that. So this is talking about this person who doesn't walk in step with the wicked. The wicked are obviously people that are seeking to do bad things. Now, if you're walking in the same path as people that are looking to do bad things, it will be so easy for you to be swayed by them and to start doing bad things too. So you should not walk in step with the wrong type of person. There is the saying that says, birds of the feather stick together. That means whoever you are hanging around with has got similar characteristics to you. And if they are wicked, that's going to rub off. Because this psalm really is talking about that people that are good and righteous should not mingle with people that are wicked and looking to do bad things. Either you will influence that person to be good, and then you are both being good, so you are not different anymore, or they will influence you to be bad, and then you are both bad, you are both wicked, and so, you know, you are the same. And it's reminding us here that it is so difficult for two people to have different ideas and different concept of right and wrong, good and evil, and be friends, to be good friends, to be reliable friends. And we should not seek out people that are wicked. We should not walk with them. We should not walk in the same path in the same way. We should not walk in step with them. This also influences us when we are thinking about marriage. Because, you know, I know sometimes it seems like a very long way away, but some of these plans that for your future, you have to think about them early on. If you get married to somebody who has different views to you about going to church, for example, and you want to go to church every Sunday, and that person is like, every Sunday? Come on, why do we have to go every Sunday? And then if you ever want to do any additional studying of the Bible, they might not understand. They might not understand about praying over your food before you eat, or they might not understand about how to discipline your children, and they won't understand the same moral things about you. They might not have the same ethical ideas about as you do. So it's very difficult if you walk in step, or you get married to somebody who has wicked ideas and you are trying to be good. As I said, one person will influence the other. So do be careful when you're thinking ahead to such things. So really, in this verse, first verse, we are looking at three verbs: walking, standing, sitting. And it's interesting to me that this is not like starting from sitting and then standing and then walking, because that is progressively being active, being more active. Sitting, you do when you're sort of relaxing and chilling out. And then you stand up with a purpose of moving, and then you move to walk. But this is the reverse of it. It's sort of starting from walking, which is moving from one place to the other, which is like progressive. When you're walking, you're moving forward. You're going somewhere. You're getting something, something done, right? You're using more energy. When you're standing, you're using less energy. And this could be standing, like maybe standing on the word of God, or standing because you're not sure where you're supposed to go and you're patiently waiting for God to lead you. So that standing is sort of like a time when you're open to ideas. And in this verse, it says, do not stand in the way that sinners take. So when you're open to ideas, be careful who you're opening your mind up to. Don't just accept any ideas. You've got to be careful and make sure you're accepting God's ideas. So don't stand in the way that sinners are, you know, they're obviously the wrong type of people, because they're already doing bad things. They're already, you know, going against God's law that we looked at when we looked at the Ten Commandments a few weeks ago. And it ends up by saying, or sit in the company of mockers. When you're sitting, like I said, you're relaxing and you're chilling out and you've maybe worked hard and now it's time to just enjoy, enjoy your time. So you have to be careful of the things that you enjoy. When you're sitting down, maybe watching television, maybe reading or accepting other things into your mind, be careful what you're sitting down to or what company you're keeping when you're sitting down and relaxing. Okay, because you will not be blessed. Verse 2 says, but whose delight is in the law of the land and who meditates on his law day and night? Delighting in the law of the Lord is like being happy to do God's will. We looked at the Ten Commandments and we looked at how the first four talk about God and the laws that relate to God. We should be happy to give God the time he deserves. We should be happy to pray to God. We should be happy to not use his name in vain. And we should be happy to make sure that we have a rest on the Sabbath day. So we should be happy to do all of those things and to make sure that we're making God the only true God and not worship idols and things like that. That should make us happy. We should delight in that. And we should meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. So when we're meditating on the Lord, this is going back to buttressing what in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mind, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And you shall do all that it says to do, right? Meditating on it day and night. It goes on further to talk about how we should talk about this book when we're sitting down to eat. We should talk about God's law. It pretty much mentions every situation when you're eating, when you're talking to your children, when you're talking to your friends, when you're sitting or relaxing and chilling out. You should think about God's law and it should make you happy. The only thing that will not make you happy is if you're not keeping that law or you're doing something against that law, then you will not be happy. But the person who is going to be blessed, fortunate, prosperous, favored by God and envied by man is the person who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Verse 3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. If you're going to be that person, obviously we are not a tree, but if you're going to be that person, you will be like a tree. A lovely simile there. You will be like a tree that is planted by streams of water, because we know that plants need sunlight, they need nutrients in good soil, and they need water to grow. So this tree is planted by the streams of water. So it is getting one of the sort of basic ingredients that it needs. And it's nice, fresh water going through and the plant gets as much as it needs to grow. It yields its fruit in season. That means good things happen to it in the right order. There's no point giving you maybe a school uniform right now. You do not need it. You don't need your school uniform right now. You need it close to September. And I know some people do buy their school uniform early and they pack it away in the wardrobe. And that's all you would do with that gift. You would have to pack it away in a wardrobe and wait until you need it. And sometimes you might do that with a bag or something that somebody gives you. And then you forget that it was even there. And then you go and buy another one. And they're like, oh, waste of money. So this tree gets its fruit in season. It gets the things that it needs at the right time. And it's the right amount. It's not too much so that stuff is wasted. It's not too little so that you have some and you're like, oh, I needed more of that. It's the right amount at the right time. That person is the one who is blessed. So that's how you can see whether somebody is blessed. If they're getting the right amount of the thing that they need at the right time in the quantity that they need it. And it says, whose leaf does not wither. Now, the leaf for a plant is where it gets its energy from. And we all know that light is converted to energy through photosynthesis. So without a leaf, or with a withered leaf, which is all shriveled up and looking like it's going to die, a plant is not going to get enough food. So this is talking about this person who is blessed, fortunate, prosperous, favored by God and envied by man, gets what they need at the right time in the right quantities, even the food that they need, because its leaf is not going to wither. If a leaf is withered, it will not be able to catch as much sunlight. So this is somebody who is not being effective in their life. If you are not blessed, if you're not this person, the things that you do not work out well. And then it reinforces that by saying, whatever they do, prosper. When the things that you do prosper, they work out perfectly. You get all the stuff that you need. And when you go out there to be active at something, it prospers. And you could prosper in having a good attitude to life, in being able to go through all this COVID-19 malarkey with not being anxious or worried. That is prospering. Even coming through COVID-19 with your mental mind intact, without any anxieties or worries, and being able to step out there in confidence, knowing that God is going to look after you, that is prospering. So this is the person who is blessed. And then it now starts talking about the people that are wicked. In verse 4, it said, "Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away." When this is giving you an imagery of a farmer. When you have a harvest of barley or grain, you have to separate the grain from the husk, the actual seed of the grain from the husk. And the husk is called the chaff. So when you sort of like lift the grain up in like a container, it's the wind will blow away the husk or the chaff. And that is not needed, so that gets blown away. We don't want to be like chaff. We don't want to be wicked. We don't want to be blown away. When you are blown away from something, you don't ever get a chance to take root. You don't get a chance to settle down and enjoy the place where you're at, because you're being moved away from one place to the other place, and the wind is just blowing you away. You don't have a chance to make good friends because you're hardly in one place at the same, for any amount of time. And you don't have a chance to grow, to get just carrying on that idea of a plant. You don't get a chance to lay down your roots and get all the nutrients you need and get all the water you need and grow into this nice big tree. Because you're constantly being blown away, you settle down one place and then the wind blows you away. The opposite of that is if you are an archer and you shoot an arrow out of a bow, that is going precisely in a straight line and it's going to hit the mark and hopefully it'll be the bullseye. And that is what God is like with us. Our lives are like that arrow. God has a precise idea. He knows exactly where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do. And he knows the bullseye that you are supposed to hit. So you are not, your life is not blown around like by the wind when you are a child of God and you accept Jesus into your life. You are like an arrow that is being sort of like being sent out by God to hit a precise point and to achieve specific things. So don't ever think that your life is useless or that things are not going your way. Trust in God to shoot you like an arrow every day so that you hit that mark and you achieve those things that he has woken you up to achieve that day. That is the way to live. And that's why I say that I really like this psalm, because it can help you when you're praying. To say, Lord, please today, don't let me be blown away like chaff in the wind. Let me hit that mark like an arrow and let me do precisely what you want me to do. Because those are the things that are going to bring you joy. And verse 5 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Again, giving us that idea that righteous people and sinners should not mix. If the wicked are standing in judgment, that means they have authority over you. And they are pointing the finger and they are accusing you and they are judging you and analyzing you and saying, oh, you're too tall, or you're too short, or you're too fat, or you're too thin, or whatever. They have no right to say that. We should not give ear to when the wicked are speaking about us. They have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. So, you know, don't let people bully you into thinking wrong ideas about yourself. This goes back again to knowing the law of the Lord and knowing God's word and being led by that and not by what people around you are saying. Because some of them are just being wicked. But they should not stand in judgment of the righteous people, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. So when you are in a place as a righteous person, you should not have around you sinners. They should not assemble in your midst or with you. They, you know, again, that idea of not mingling and not settling down in the midst of sinners. And in verse 6, it ends by telling us why all of this. What is the thing that separates the wicked and the righteous? For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. God is looking over your life. If you're a child of God, He is watching you to make sure everything works out perfectly for you. Your life is not randomly just going through day after day. There is a reason and a purpose that God has made you. And when He looked at everything that He made, He saw that it was good. And He knew the purpose for which He had made you. So, do you know what that purpose is? If you don't, you need to ask God, because He is watching over you to make sure things work out well. So if you don't get a part-time job, for example, don't worry about it, because God has got your back. God knows what way He wants you to go, because He is watching over you so that your way only goes one direction. So don't fight your day. Don't fight the things that are happening to you. Maybe that's God's way of protecting you. If you don't get to go out with a bunch of friends or do something that other people are doing, don't worry about that. Because God might be stopping you from something bad happening. And He might be protecting you that way. So don't fight all these things. Just trust in God and know that He won't ever let you miss a great opportunity. The things that are yours, you will receive them, because He is watching over you to make sure that you get it. You will get all the good things that belong to you. And then it ends by saying, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And this destruction is really their comeuppance. It's the consequences of their bad behavior. So sometimes we look at people that are being wicked and maybe we think, oh yeah, they're getting away with murder. But they're not really, because they will get what they deserve. Maybe it might not, you know, we might never see that happening, or we might not see the consequences of it. But we have to trust in God that He knows the wicked people and He knows the good people, and He's going to make sure the wicked people are punished and they will lead to destruction. Maybe that might even be just going to hell. Maybe that will be what they will get ultimately. But we don't have to sit there watching them, because we should be busy doing the things that God wants us to be doing, not looking around at who's got what and why haven't I got this, that, or the other. Right, so that is it. That is Psalm 1, which is really great. I hope you enjoyed going through it. And I hope that, you know, it helps you to pray more. As I said, think carefully about memorizing a psalm. Psalm 1 is really beautiful. And use it in your prayers. Use it to achieve the thing that you want to do. Say to God, I want to be a tree that's planted by the right supplies, wherever I am, so that I will be prosperous. And you can say what that prosperous looks, that prosperity looks like, what the success, what your end goal is going to be, and what success will look like in your life. And God will listen. God will bless you. And also consider writing a psalm to God. Consider personalizing it to your life and what you've gone through during, the lockdown, or, you know, the times when you've been down and how God has helped you. Use some of the psalms to guide you in how you can do that. And as I said, if you send it to Bev in the office, she would love to receive that. Contact details are on the church website. So stay blessed and stay safe. And I hope you enjoy your school holiday. Bye.